Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, October 6, 2013, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. And yes, this is an early airing of Master Your Mindset Monday, a day early. Well, happy Sunday and happy Monday. And oh, happy day, whatever day it is that you happen to tune in. It is a great day, and I thank you for listening. And speaking of listening, tuning in, isn't it important to do that? Do what you ask. Tune in to life. You know, to keep our ears open, keep our eyes open, keep our mind's eye open, keeping our hearts open. You know, I just believe it's so easy to miss something. Mm-hmm. That's probably happened to you. I know it's happened to me many times. You're busy and only halfway paying attention, distracted by things that are going on, even sometimes distracted by your own thoughts, and you miss something that was going on in the moment. It might have been something that would have made you smile, and you missed it, or something that would have made you smarter, and you missed it. It might have been something that, you know, may have brought you some deeper insight, or it might have even been something really important. It might have been something mind-changing. And it might have even been something life-changing, but we missed it. So how do we press pause and get truly focused in and about our lives without missing some of these most precious moments and pertinent moments that come our way? Well, my radio BFF and superstar are TV host Cassandra McShepherd, and I will toss around those questions today and see if we can master our own mindsets more and maybe drop a thought on you that's a keeper. How about that? Hey there, Cassandra. How are you today? Happy Sunday.
I'm good. It is a practice. Being present is definitely a practice. It is not something that happens just because you happen to be here.
Wouldn't that be too easy?
Yeah, right.
I'm always glad when we're doing these shows. You know, we've always had so much fun, tremendous fun, just great times doing shows together over the years. And it's just always something that I feel it's a God connection. I believe it's an inspired and an appointed time for us to share a lot of the things that you say. You know, this is what I know so far, and things that I know are critical, important for mastering our mindsets. And for me, what that means is, you know, changing our paradigms if we need to, shifting the way we think, getting some new thoughts in our head, doing things differently that are going to make us live life out loud a whole lot better. So I'm excited again when we do this. Let's start off talking about a couple of different things. We're talking about no time like the present, living in the now. But what do we really mean by now? We think we say it so much. It's a common word. But when we talk about now, and I talked about some of the things that we can easily miss, you know, in our now, what comes to your mind when you think about now? I mean, right now we're on internet radio right now, but there's a whole bunch of now going on in the world. There's a lot of now,
you know,
so
there is. It's always. And I love the fact that you talked about, because it's so true, the fact that now is so easily missed. I see now as an awareness of presence, and awareness of the presence of one's self. Now is oftentimes, I think, used as a planning stage. Now is when we think about the past or the future or our sadness or our expectations, and we miss the opportunity to just take a breath and be exactly what and where we are. So now I see as a space of awareness of nothing outside of the second, the millisecond. It is not looking back. It is not looking forward. It's just being, and not. No, it's not just being. It's being aware of your existence at every single second. Now, therefore, would then be a place of incredible peace. Said to you in our conversation a little earlier, I don't know if I know anybody who lives in the now, and sadly, myself included. So it is a cultivation. It is a practice. But first, as you said, you've got to be aware of what it is.
You know, I love words, and I looked online to see what was being said about the word now, definition-wise, and you would think with it being such a huge concept, there would have been a lot more information. But it referenced just in terms of mostly time, that it's current. It's the right now. It's the present reality that we live in this particular moment. And, of course, my mind dances a lot about things like that. So I started thinking, and I thought it's relevant to the in individually what is happening with each one of us. Because, as I said, there's a big now going on, you know, all over. It's now. But in terms of what we're talking about what's going on in our isness. And I read something on the definition of is that blew me away. I thought, wow, I'd have to think about that a lot more because it's so deep. But the definition said of is to have presence in the realm of perceived reality, to have presence in the realm of perceived reality. And if that word perceived hadn't been there, I probably would have left it alone, but I did do some dancing, and I'm not through with that because I thought it was just so very interesting. So our now could be really in a present state, or it could be in a perceived reality. I thought, wow, this might be a longer conversation than I thought, you know, initially. But we'll get back to that. But I thought that was really pretty incredible. Let's talk about Cassandra. You have brought up some interesting things when we were chatting about why it's so hard to focus on what's going on in our now. A lot of us have tons of things that we have going on, and so much of it is not actually truly relevant to the present moment. So why do you think we have such a hard time focusing on doing what's relevant in the present moment?
as I was saying, it's hard because it is, that must be cultivated. You've got to, first of all, have asked yourself the question of what is it, and then how do we get it? And all of the signals, all of the signs, all of the information that come to us, at us, through the world that we live in, is reach for something else. Look for something else. Listen to me. Do this. Buy this. Go there. Look like, talk like this. Be like this. Know this.
Mm-hmm.
Sing this. It's all about doing something other than self. And so it is not easy. It is not easy. It's really a common knowledge that there is a place to be, the only place to be. The place where we are supposed to be at any given second in that, and that is present. Because when you are present, when you are not buying, you are not remembering and regret the future, you are not, you are breathing, you're just breathing and feeling exactly what that space will be. I see the now as a very powerful place. I talked about now as a place of peace. I think about times when I have been in physical pain, and much of that time is spent fearing the last gust or drop of pain, like headache, for example, that kind of comes in pulses. And you are fearing that, still reeling from that, and regretting the next pulse to come. But in the midst of even physical pain, sometimes I have done a self and body check and said, or asked myself, in this second, millisecond, right now, what? And in that second, millisecond, in that right nowness, I have been okay.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes, I mean, the physical pain is a real challenging one because that can hurt. But oftentimes in emotional, psychological stress over things of the past, we are in patience and fear, things be, and we're constantly out of sync and out of peace because we are not just breathing in where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want us to stop right there because I think that we would probably agree that that's where most of the struggle anyone would have with the concept of now, and that is in their emotional and mental makeup. I read a few articles regarding this, and one of the articles particularly said that we spend a lot of time wishing and wanting something different than we're actually experiencing, and that takes us away from the current circumstances as far as applying energy, effort, thought in the most appropriate ways that really anchors us in that particular time that we're calling now to experience it as fully as we could. And there was a, for instance, given of waking up in the morning and all of a sudden you meet with stressors and it's Monday and you're saying, I can't wait until it's Friday, or I wish it was, the weekend. And that's what you focus on rather than, and that's something simple, but gosh, how many times have we all heard that? You know,
but in the real sense,
we do things like that. We don't think about how that may be taking us out of our sense of being present with whatever is, even as stressful, even as painful, even as challenging as it may be, it takes us away from the actual sense of being a part of that because it's a mode of escape, sort of. It's a way of not choosing. It's a way of choosing not dealing with it because it seems to feel harder than just saying, I'll be glad when it's the weekend because the week will be over, as if that really is offering some type of mystical or magical way of making something disappear or go away. And I think, too, based on some of the things you said, that there really is a growth, empowerment that comes from staying with whatever it is that may be happening, whether it's work or something that's going awry already early in the morning, or just your own sense of, let me gather all of my thoughts back and reel them in, and let's just be right here where I am and not thinking about, oh, if I had done this when I was 25, or only if I had the chance now to start that business I was thinking of 5 years ago, or, you know, filling our heads with that kind of thing, rather than embracing the true total power of the moment that would say, you know, I didn't do that business 5 years ago, but you know what? It's not too late. I'm going to start thinking about it now. Or something that happened prior. Well, that was then, but this is now. So what do I do in my present state to offer myself the kind of encouragement and empowerment to make this present moment as exciting and fulfilling as it can be? I can remember in my own experience, and I shared this with another guest, I shared that with you earlier, a few weeks ago, and we weren't talking about this subject in particular, but how difficult it was for me during a period in my life where I was experiencing a lot of pain and grief, and it made me want to not hunker down on that. I mean, it was just too hard. It was just too deep. It was just too heavy. And so I wanted to be busy doing other stuff. I wanted to be busy doing anything else that would not allow me to have to dive into this painful place and deal with its reality in the now. But the thing about it is, you can't escape it. If I had not awakened to the fact that that was an important part of my personal muscle, my emotional muscle, my spiritual muscle, my psychological muscle, my emotional muscle, I would have really missed something. And I might have been a little loopy by now. Who knows? Thank God, however, I was able to, again, get in the presence of that pain and talk to it and talk myself into it, out of it, above it, beyond it, around it, through it, and find myself in a more beautiful now. So I said all of that to say, you know, now isn't always so very comfy. It isn't always so very feeling safe. But it is a now place that needs to be lived in to be as balanced with your thinking and your emotions as you really can possibly be, even though it may feel like you're on shaky ground. It's the best place to be to find that balance.
Now is where we are. It is the only place that we are. I'm thinking of a movie, Anywhere But Here. But here is we are, waking up in the morning, projecting to Friday. And oftentimes people have this dread and this feeling hit the floor. And needless to say, they've already missed the point. Not knowing the miracles, the gifts that the day has to offer, not to mention the week or even the minute. And the problem with that is when you are, again, projecting forward, then you are definitely missing the now. Why are you projecting forward? Because of some past that you're remembering. So no wonder we are crazy and confused and unhappy and depressed and strung out and strung up. No wonder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When we just breathe. You know, I think about, we talk a lot, Silver, about our thoughts, and that and I know that thoughts are creative things. But thoughts are not what we are. We are not our thought. We create our experiences, I believe, by our thoughts. But we are not our thoughts. And when we consider that, then we witness, if you will, the trips that your mind takes you on. Now, again, we are, I think, sometimes victims to our thoughts. Being in the now means that you, I think, must do several things. You cannot contrast your presence, not to mention your future, by your past. It was common belief that as things were, so they will be, and maybe so for some things, definitely so, but that's how you live your life, or that is what you expect, or how you think. But that doesn't to apply at all. You of each and every, and is missing yesterday, forgiving the thoughts that come up where you feel that you failed or that you did not make the right decisions. I would beg to differ. Obviously, did the only thing that you could do, you cannot go back and have proof of doing something different, have proof that you did not do it exactly right. So I say bless it and let it go. And really let it be. It does not depict our future. I think about waking up in the morning, and as you were speaking about, okay, here are some now moments that, you know, I guess would definitely or deserve we put on the now. I suppose if you woke to a God forbid, a blazing fire in your home, say, for example, if you woke up with heavens forbid, an intruder in your home, if you woke up with some sort of like piercing physical pain, the larger majority of us do not wake up to those situations. But we still wake up in dread. And that is, it doesn't feel like a choice that we're making. But by not recognizing that we are in that place of dread psychologically based on something that is not happening right now, by not realizing that, we are giving over the power and the potential of the place of now for that.
I really love that, Cassandra. I have written down a note that I wrote for us to discuss, because you said something really important about waking up with dread, and a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about a fearful future, and that is so very real, and that's a point I really want us to toss around a little bit, because it's a perceived reality, something that people are dreading that's never happened. And I can't remember the quote exactly that said something like most of the things we worry about never do happen. And so one of the things I wrote down is pay reality attention. Pay reality attention. Meaning when you start to feel that, think and worry about the things that are going on, pay reality attention. Meaning, try to bring your thoughts away from that fearful, futuristic probing and adventure that you're taking yourself on, and really look at what's going on. And I believe that we probably would find ourselves a lot less challenged with the actualities of what is happening. And let's use, for instance, an individual, let's say family that lost their job, dad lost a job, and mom is thinking about, you know, they've got three kids and their home, and if something doesn't happen, we're going to lose our house, and how are we going to continue to pay for our kids' school, and what's going to happen to us, and, you know, all of that kind of fearful, futuristic thinking, the dread that comes along with that, takes us away. And some of what I was talking about in my intro is how that kind of thinking actually steals away promise, potential, possibility from the present, from the now. Because, you know, to project the doom and to protect the gloom only helps to bring it to fruition. And so when we bring ourselves into embrace the now, okay, Charlie has lost his job. Let us focus our energies on what can we do now to pull together resources or a plan or reorg our lives or whatever we have to do to try to fight to keep everything that we have. And there, in that alone, brings you a sense of strength, a sense of empowering yourself, a sense of I have some control to a degree on what happens with the outcome of these circumstances. So let me work with that and see what I can do about it right now. Because we don't know. I don't know if I'm Charlie's wife, if he's actually going to be out of work for that long. Hopefully not. We're going to work, you know, our behindies off to try to help him get work before then. But it's just a circumstance like that and so many countless others that we wake up in the morning and we are dreading. We are really looking into a fearful future about things that have not created their now. We are creating that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, I'm chomping at the bit here. Absolutely right. I think about it's the what can I do right now? Well, unless you are at a job interview or in the actual physical place where you are, say for example, at a store at a counter and you can't afford what you want to buy. If you are not in the situation that calls for action to do something that you fear you'll fail at, but you are thinking about even what would you do when you get there, you're still missing the now. Now is such a place of I keep saying power and peace. We spend so much of our lives fearing the future in anticipation, fear, dread, doubt of this drought of life ahead of us. And the reality is, for most lives, we have come through something. Most folks of any age have come through a situation that they did not, where they did not always know how it was going to work out, or they feared or felt that they wouldn't have enough or be able to do or be strong enough or many of those kinds of situations. And again, it all depends on where are you. If you are at home at this time and projecting forward about what could be a present reality in the scheme of things in your life, but if you are at home right now having a cup of coffee or a dinner or a bath or whatever, that's where you should be. And if we could be in that place, I spoke earlier about the blowing bubbles. We used to all play that. Most of us played with that toy as children, where you just reach a plastic wand into a jar full of soapy water, and you pull it out and you blow into it very, very gently because you want to make the bubble as big as it can be without it busting. But that is kind of like the mental muscle that expands the now. The bubble is kind of the now, and you really got to focus on being there right then and at that time. But we don't do that. We look at a set of circumstances that are really happening in our lives, and what will I do about it right now? Well, if I'm having a cup of coffee right now, let's just have a cup of coffee. When I pick up the newspaper or go to make a phone call, well, then I'm in that now. Then show up and do all you can do. Be all you can be. If I'm going to sit and purpose myself to do research on doing something at that time, then that's your now. Then at that time, do that, be that. But we're still missing. I think about the moments of our days, how many of them are wasted in dreading the past and fearing the future and all of these trips that we take and in thought, lost in thought, and how very few minutes comparingly are spent in action. Those are all minutes of peace and rejuvenation. All of those minutes of now where we're sitting and worrying or anticipating or fearing or dreading, those are moments where we could be breathing and creating a safer platform upon which to leap into a situation when we get there, not now, but when we get there and act effectively. Now is a place I talk about healing and peace, about it's a place of rejuvenation. If we're not fearing the past, because I'm telling you, our future is not predicted by the past. It just is not. That was a cute saying, but it's not true. it can be if that's what you create, but it doesn't have to be. What happened then does not speak to what will happen in the future, because if we change part of the equation, then the outcome changes. One and one equals two. But if you become two to your one, well, now you're at three. But you can't become two if you're holding on to the one and taking the one from the past into the future. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I want to talk about that more, too, because that's another function of how we do life that impairs our ability to get a lot of things done, not just our ability to make our adjustment to current circumstances and living in our present. But we will very often make that determination, as you have described, that, you know, I made this mistake with this, or I had this bad relationship, or I had this thing happen that's made, you know, in me a different person, and my self-esteem got left back somewhere else. Funny story, I was coming out of a store a couple of weeks ago, and there was a gentleman out there with a pretty neat bike. I was actually in, it was the outside of a mall, and he was asking people for money, and I looked at him, you know, I kind of check out these folks, you know, that are soliciting. And I looked and I thought, man, he sure is dressed pretty decent, you know, and bike isn't, you know, he didn't grab that out of anybody's dumpster. And so he said, ma'am, you know, can I get some money from you? I said, why? I said, why? So he said, he had a story for me. He said, I can't get a job. He said, you know, because I was involved in this real deep government conspiracy at one time and got in a lot of trouble, and so I can't get a job. I said, well, you know what? I'm really sorry to hear that, but here's my feedback for you. I said, you're much too handsome. And you're much too smart to not be able to get a job somewhere. So I advise you to keep trying. He said, but I had this problem. I said, I think you're much too handsome and much too smart to not get a job someplace. And I walked through into the door of the store that I was going into. But I said that to say, I don't know if that was true. I don't know if that was his spiel, his buy-in that worked or not. But it was something he had determined from his past that was just destroying his now, if it was a true story. I believe that there was probably some element to it that even if some of it were just buffered to tell people, I believe there was probably something that had happened. Maybe he had really been in prison. Maybe he was embellishing the story. But the point is, he was absolutely choosing a now that, from my perspective, and I could have been wrong, but my perspective said, you're intelligent, you articulate, you can. I see your ability to sell, and you're really a handsome guy. I think you need to give this another approach. You know, change your mind about what you believe. But something like that, many folks do. Maybe not in the extreme, of course, of being out on the street, but many folks have things from their past that they put an anchor on. And the moment you make a suggestion about doing something now, the first thing that's going to come up is what they feel is a legitimate excuse or problem or reason that they cannot possibly do that in their now. And it totally, again, robs you of all of the strengths, all of the wisdom, all of the purpose and planning and prioritizing that you can bring right into this present time to do what it is that you really want to do. So for me, that's huge. And I really want that to be a huge caution sign. Don't let that be you. Recognize that when those thoughts come, they come to steal. They come to take away your ability to understand that there is a new day, there's a present time where you can do things totally new and different than ever was. Now, it may not come as easy, but it wouldn't have been easy if you had done it at a different time. It's just that this is a new day and a new time. So, yeah, both a fearful, futuristic approach to life and a dreading things in the past and how they can impact you now will absolutely take away from living in your best now. That's for sure.
The note I made was, there's no room for your butt in the now. There just is not. you've got to go buttless.
Get your butt out of the way.
It feels like you talked about whenever you make a determination to do anything different, so many thoughts within ourselves. You don't even have to go outside and tell somebody your hopes and dreams and have them try to squash them for you. We are so good at self-sabotage. And we think that it's sound, good, sensible information based on things of the past. We think that we shouldn't extend ourselves or put ourselves out because other people tried and failed. We think all of those things, and we spend our present time, our isness in those antidotes or fears or past realities or past perceptions of what actually happened, and just spend our, and we spend, if not waste, so much of our lives doing that. When again, like I said, the now is not a planning place. The now is a being place. The now is not a place of remembrance. It's a place of breathing. The now is not a place of anticipation. It's a place to just be. It's so simple, I guess, that it is complicated. Because if it were that easy, why couldn't we do it? And as I said before, we're not taught to. But before this conversation is over, we will definitely talk about some ways to be. present.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we should probably go ahead and do that now because, you know, time flies when you're having fun. So let's knock out a couple of those ways. One of the things I have on my notes is that we really, to be in our being state is to focus on what's really needing to be happening or what needs to be done. Again, we find ourselves spending energy mentally, physically doing things rather than just focusing on what needs to happen. Let's say, for instance, you're a busy mom. And let's say your biggest thing in the morning is making sure your kids get out of the house and to the bus or to school in the morning. And it's huge. If you got a lot of, you don't even have to have a lot of kids. You have one kid or you have three or five. It still takes time and effort. But in the mix of all of that, you're thinking about all of what needs to be accomplished by tonight. You know, I've got to do this, and I got to do that, and they're going to be home at 3:30, and then I got to go do this, and I'm supposed to go to the mall, and I got to get my hair cut, and I blah, 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 and on and on. That's what you do to yourself. Rather than being in the now is this. Okay, kids are up. Hey, kids. Being actively involved with the kids. Listening to what the kids are talking about, as silly and crazy as that can be sometimes, but it certainly can be fun because kids have such clever ways of expressing themselves, depending on who your kids are. But listening to them, you're going to learn something good, bad, or indifferent. But focusing on those in the moment, the kids are grabbing stuff, putting in their lunch bag and whatever, but staying focused within whatever that activity is, not, oh, you know, I got to get them out of here fast because, oh, I got to be here as soon as I drop them off, or, I've got to call these people today. All of it means that we have to really be in wherever the is. That stuff that hasn't happened yet, we can't be in that is. We can't be in that being until it actually occurs. We can know we have stuff to do, but there's no point in letting it do this, you know, racetrack stuff around our minds while we get to it. So you get the kids in the car. Okay, you're still kind of focusing on them. Mom, this and that, and, you know, they want to talk, and you might have some sharing, or maybe you sing. You know, I used to sing and play word games with my kids, you know, in the car. But something that keeps you in that moment. And then when you drop them off, what's my next now? My now is, okay, I got that done. And then maybe your now is 5 minutes. I can just appreciate that I've got this presence right now, this present time where it's a little quiet, and I'm going to use this for shifting. It's a peaceful place. It's a quiet place. And then you get on to the next thing. So it's a lot of mind management in a way. Cassandra,
you know, so
if not in every way.
No, well, I think about, when I think about that, I think about, again, a step before that. If this is a new concept for you, then it might even be too much to ask when you are getting impulses or influences from something outside of yourself to even start to practice that. I say, first of all, be quiet and be in a quiet place. Shut out the noise, because you need to hear. If for meditation, for example, and whenever one sit, oftentimes when we sit to meditate, one of the problems that many people say is, "But I can't shut off my mind." Yes, I understand that. No, you cannot shut off your mind, but you can listen to the thoughts and you can bless them and realize how crazy they are. But you can just listen to them. Don't judge them. Don't answer them. Just watch them come up and let them go. Don't go with them.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch them come and go. Practice that a time or enough, and then you do understand that you are not your thoughts. You will hear opposition coming up every time you sit to do something. You do not have to follow it. So be quiet and shut the noise out. You stop talking with your mouth. Shut the noise out. And the second thing is you got to breathe while you're in that space. If you can't seem to shut down your mind, then focus on your breathing. This is not new. This is what everybody talks about. But a deep inhalation, and think about the marvel of your body. Now, I'm talking about, we can do this flat on your back. You can do this. If you're not actively physically engaged in something, just lost in thought, be present. It's a perfect time to be present, and these are ways in which you can do that. Learn to feel your body and be thankful for your body. All of this. Now, again, this is doing you. When it comes to the long laundry list of things you don't want to forget to do or your list of things to do on any given day, reality is we know them. For things that we don't want to forget, write it down and let it go. Check the piece of paper when you need to. You don't have to make the running list or keep the running list of things in your head. I think about if you bless those things, if you don't follow your thoughts, because, baby, I'm telling you, my mind can lead me into some places, into some situations, and I've even gotten out of my bed. If you let them, if you watch them come and let them go, and you take the time, you talk about being at home with the children, getting them prepared, then even cutting the bread for the sandwiches can be a religious practice or experience if you are wholly, truly there. When you're in the car, give them the gift of your presence, the gift of your attention. Make that time really count. It doesn't last long, whatever the commute is. And in the scheme of things, you won't be driving them to school every day, and then you'll be dreading, oh, when they were young. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Be
mm-hmm.
where you are, and it does become a spiritual discipline, a religious practice, doing everything that you're doing, not mindlessly, but mindfully, fully aware. First of all, we would be much more productive, and when our tasks are done, we would be able to really happily let them go because we really showed up at the time. Now is just recognizing that it's not the past, that it's not the future, it's not what might happen, it's not what you fear, what won't happen. It's just where you are. It's just mm-hmm. where you are. And if we cultivate, as we talked so many times before, what you focus on, you multiply. If you cultivate being aware of the peace of now, well, then we are healthier people and we are more able to attempt, if not, I can't even say tackle. Well, I'll say tackle. Attempt and tackle those events when we are actually there versus wasting our present in projection or wasting our present in fear and dread or zoning out with booze or alcohol or unhealthy habits.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention something that you said. One of the articles I read was by a Dr. Jay Winner, and he said, one of his things he said is the present moment can only be as it is. The present moment can only be as it is. And he emphasized something you said, and that was that we have to have a mindfulness of that it can only be what it is. It can't be all of those things we're thinking about because it only is what it is at that particular second. That moment, and that we have to practice a sense of being mindful and connected, attentive to, a part of what is happening as it is actually happening. And I thought that that was really, really, really powerful. Easy concept to hear, maybe not as easy to do, but all of the things that we have to do in life, if we want to do it well, is going to take some practice. It's going to take implementing and applying if we want it to actually work. Otherwise, we just have the option of kind of feeling crazy as we go through these, you know, life, which, you know, works for a lot of people. But I prefer to utilize these concepts that really do help you to feel a total type of fulfillment as you walk through each and every day of life. Mm-hmm. And it does not mean by any far stretch of the imagination that things are perfect in your world. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that you have learned the ability to be able to stay in that place that he described, the present moment can only be as it is, so that you're not thinking about the fearful future, dreading the past. You're not, you know, running around a racetrack in your head. You're just staying right here, focused on whatever it is going on in its healthiest sense. But it doesn't mean perfection. It's a practice that you have embraced that really takes you to a place in life where you feel balanced, and you feel a type of stillness that you were talking about. Stillness in the sense that they're really, a lot of people call an inner peace.
Yes.
And again, it doesn't mean perfection.
That's where it is.
It just means peace.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You move from now what to what now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to reflect on a couple of, go ahead, Cassandra. I'm sorry.
No, go on.
Well, I was just going to say that I wanted to reflect on a couple of things that we have talked about. You can wrap it up then with whatever comment that you were going to just say. But I just want to go over a couple of things that we emphasized in our conversation. And, you know, we talked about, and again, these are things that you had said that I thought were critical. Stop worrying about the fearful future. Stop hanging on to your dreadful past. Those are critical things for existing in the now. Something that I said was to pay reality attention. Really try to find yourself in the place where reality doesn't feel so scary. Embrace it. Analyze it. You know, you may have to swallow it hard. You may have to step into it. But regardless, deal with it. Deal with the realities, because that is, as Dr. Winter said, the present moment can only be what it is. It is, as they say, what it is. So be in the isness. Something that I didn't say and we didn't talk a lot about, but you talked about it in a different kind of way, but slowing down and then just ridding yourself of all of the stuff you really don't even really need to be doing. We sometimes do things out of habit. We sometimes do things because it seems like it's, you know, something to be doing rather than doing nothing. But if it's not offering the real essence of the stillness, the peace, the confidence, the balance, then it may not need to be in your now. It will leave room for having a fuller now when we get rid of some of those things. So those are kind of the big hits, I think, out of our conversation. And why don't you share what you were going to say, and then we're going to wrap this conversation up.
I want to thank you for, again, inviting me to master our minds. It is a life's practice, and a lovely one. It is cultivation. It is truly a thing to do versus dreading the past or fearing the future or even being in what some people might think they are in a current, present vice grip now. It is the only chance of freedom, the only opportunity for peace that we have, and we all of us have it. I just want to say that again. Now it's one of those pop concepts, but what is it really? And it is, I think, as your definition described as we start this conversation, it is your perceived place. I pray that people will perceive it as a place of potential for peace and for healing, and really learn to cultivate that. Like I said, you've got to be aware of you, and that doesn't often happen when you are in noisy places or when you are following the dreads of the past or paralyzed by the fearful thoughts of the future, when you are in neither situation. When it comes to the past, bless it, it's gone. If there was anything to be learned, commit it to your memory immediately as it happens, and it will be there when you have an opportunity to pull that lesson out and use it again. When it comes to doing things in the future that seem so painful to do, or doing things even in the present that seem so painful or frustrating to do, like work for many people, for example, I would encourage us to not judge it, just do it. Many things are difficult to be or to bear simply and only because of the definitions and judgments that we have put on them. But if it's where you are, it's where you are supposed to be. And the only way to move through it is to do it.
Those are wonderful and great insights to leave everybody with. That's because you're the superstar, RRR, and I want to thank you.
My pleasure, always.
For being with me too, Cassandra. You know, you and I, again, do this in a way that I enjoy all of my conversations with my guests. But, again, I just appreciate the synergy that we have been able to generate when we have our life skills show. So thank you so much. And you enjoy the rest of your day and week. And stay in the now, sis.
Oh, yeah. I will do that. Because now it's time
all
to
right.
do that. Thank you.
That's right. Talk to you soon. And I want to thank all of you wonderful listeners for hanging in there with me today for our Master Your Mindset Monday on Sunday. But that's how we can do it. Technology allows us to do so many things however we want to. So I appreciate this opportunity to do some sharing with you. And again, I'll ask you if you would please let your social media friends and family know that Toxology Today airs typically on Mondays at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. And I talk to a lot of positive people. We talk about positive things, positive thinking, and positive living, things that are going to enhance and empower you and your life. So again, thanks for hanging in there. Enjoy your now, and thank you for listening.